So good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for your presence. I want to begin this morning by looking at John chapter 20, verses 18 through 31. It's a familiar passage to you. I know the print's kind of small for you, but you're familiar with this. It says, "And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." Of course, this is following the resurrection of Jesus and all of the happenings there, and how that Jesus had talked to Mary Magdalene. She comes and now reports this. "In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, 'Peace to you.' And he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John there sums up the purpose why he wrote this gospel and why the particular things of this gospel are included. Many signs, many wonders, to report to us that indeed Jesus is the Son of God, that we might believe on him. I want you to notice here, though, again in verse 18, that Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. But they didn't believe, did they? Jesus had spoken these things too, hadn't he, before he was crucified? That he would rise from the dead? But for 3 days, they cower in fear, as if they don't know what's going to happen. Their faith was shaken. Notice with me also Luke chapter 24 and verses 9 through 11. It says, "They returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." All of these women report the same thing that Mary Magdalene reported. Told them all these things, but they did not believe them. Again, Mark chapter 16 and verses 9 through 14. "When he rose early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. So Mark is reporting the same thing that Matthew and Luke have reported. She went and told, but when they heard, they did not believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told it to the rest, they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked them for their hardness, unbelief, and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Would you have believed? We stand here this side of all of this, and in hindsight, and we say, well, yeah, I would have believed, because that's what he said he was going to do. These didn't believe. I mean, these have been sent with commissions. They've been sent with limited commissions. They'd cast demons out of people in the name of Jesus and performed, they themselves had performed miracles by the power of God. And when it was reported to them what Jesus said he was going to do, that he had done it, they didn't believe. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Should have believed. The question is, do you believe? In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Unless you believe. Do you believe? So we come back to John chapter 20. And we noticed here that Mary Magdalene had came and reported all of these things to the disciples. Verse 25 says, "The other disciples therefore said to Thomas, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Thomas wasn't there. You know, the disciples didn't believe what Mary said. Jesus came. Okay, now we've seen you, now we believe. Okay, they report it to Thomas. Thomas doesn't believe. "Unless I've seen, unless I put my finger into the print of his nails and thrust my hand to the side, I will not believe." So he's given that opportunity. You drop down to verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now there's not a single one of us here today who have seen the risen Jesus of Nazareth with our eyes. We've never seen him. We didn't see him when he was alive. We didn't see him on the cross. We didn't see him when he was raised. We've never seen him. And Jesus knew that the majority of the saved would be of the number that you and I are. Never seen him. Have no idea what he looks like or looked like when he was here on earth. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What do we have to go on? Why do we believe? Nate, why do you believe? Why do you believe? It's because of the report that's in this book. I haven't seen the miracles either. I haven't seen a single miracle. That time is over. Those miracles were given to confirm the word. The word is confirmed. It's once for all delivered to the saints. It's not going to change. Does it need more confirmation for me to believe what's in here? It all comes down to believing what you hear. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. You can hear the wrong thing and believe the wrong thing and trust the wrong thing and be saved because, or be lost because of it. In John chapter 11, in verses 11 through 27, these things he said after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. They thought he meant really asleep. He just needs some rest. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had been speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. But many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met with him, and Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. For whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not here, that you may believe. And so they go, and Jesus, of course, raises Lazarus from the dead. He's been dead. He's been in the tomb 4 days. No question but what Lazarus is dead. And Jesus raises him from the dead. So why was it such a strange thing to them that when it's reported by the women and by the two that were on the road to Emmaus, that they had seen him alive, that he was resurrected, why was it so hard for them to believe that? They had heard Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. They had heard Jesus say, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He meant all the tribulations of the world, including death. He asked Martha here, do you believe? Martha, do you believe what I'm telling you? That your brother will rise again. Yes, I believe that he'll rise again in the great resurrection. I believe that. I am the resurrection. And to prove that, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Are we talking about physical death? No, we're not talking about... Everybody is appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The question is, what happens after the judgment? Are you going to be dead? Are you going to be separated from God after the judgment? Because you didn't believe? You see, if you believe, physical death doesn't have any hold on you. If you believe, you belong to the one who is the resurrection and the life. And you will never die. Do you believe? Do you really believe? In John 14, in verses 1 through 11, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems to me like he just had a little smile on his face. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, if I go to prepare a place for you, I want to come back and get you so that you're going to be there. I'm not going to prepare it, and then you're not going to be able to be there. I am coming back for you. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him, and you have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." You know, the disciples are much like many people today. Well, who is Jesus? I mean, is Jesus God? Is God Jesus? Are there three personalities in the Godhead? Or is it just one personality taking on different forms? And Jesus is explaining that here. He's saying, look, my Father and I, we're two different people. But my Father is in me, and I am in my Father. We are one, just like a husband and wife are one flesh. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. They're united. There's no division or schism or envy or jealousy or anything among them. They're completely unified. And that's what he's saying here. "Do you believe me?" he said. "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I mean, we're not the same person, but we stand for the same thing. Do you believe me? I mean, there's your explanation. We can go to many other passages as well on the Trinity or whatever you want to call it. But they all say the same thing. They're all going to come to the same conclusion. It's not a question of, are you going to find something that says something different? They're all going to say the same thing because that's the nature of truth. It's consistent. And if you're having a hard time understanding it, and because you have a hard time understanding it, you're saying, I don't believe it, you've got a problem. Because Jesus has explained it here. It's not a question of, can it be explained any clearer? I don't think it can be. You have to overcome your prejudice. Say, I believe. I believe just what he said. You believe God, believe me also. Why? Because I speak the words of the Father. They're the same thing. Unless you believe, you will die in your sin. So it all begins with believing. How do we believe? Well, we have to hear. And so it's no strange thing to us that Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Any faith, every faith, comes by hearing. But the faith that saves comes by hearing the word of God. We have to hear it. Whether you hear it with your ears or read it with your eyes and therefore hear it, you might say from the horse's mouth, from God himself, directly from his word. When you hear it and you believe it, you trust it and obey it. Hebrews 11 and verse 26 or verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And we noticed this at length last week. Without faith, without hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God, the will of God, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must, not should, not could, might, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what faith is. Faith is diligently seeking God on God's terms, as God has said in his Word. James 1 and verse 22 says it this way, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving of yourselves. Faith is not faith until it does what the word of God tells it to do. So, and we're not going to do what the word of God tells us to do until we hear what the word of God tells us to do. So it all begins with hearing. I can't believe unless I first hear the truth. Having heard the word of truth, I must believe. That's what we notice in John chapter 8 and verse 24. I said to you, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Do you believe? Do you truly believe? In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You might be sitting here today and say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Was that the end of what Paul and Silas had to say to the Philippian jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Is that where it ended? No. He had to hear. In order to believe, he had to hear what he needed to believe. And so they taught him the gospel. You need to understand that believing isn't just, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons believe that. James chapter 2. You believe there is one God? That's good. The demons also believe and tremble. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they do not serve him. Our belief must be a serving belief, an active belief, an obedient belief, a belief that demonstrates our trust in him. And so, we must repent. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn from your sins to follow me, you will perish. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. Having believed, you must turn. Turn from what you're doing to what I tell you to do. Turn from sin and unrighteousness to the path of righteousness. Unless you do that, you will perish. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we read, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." It's all a process, isn't it? To be refreshed, to be renewed, to walk in newness of life with Him, we must hear the Word of God. Believe it, trust it, and obey it. Turn from our sin to Him. We must confess Him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 says, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Would you make that confession today? And for the balance of your life, would you profess Him to be the Son of God and your Savior? Romans 10 and verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Will you make that confession? And we must be baptized. Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16, as Jesus sent the apostles on the Great Commission, He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." What's the evidence of your belief? It's your repentance. It's your confession. It's your baptism for the remission of sins in obedience to the command of Christ here. It's no wonder then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those who had been pricked in their heart because they heard that they had crucified He who is both Lord and Christ, they asked, "What shall we do?" And the divine answer was, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Do you believe? You see, you look at those apostles and the report of the women and of Mary and of the two on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't believe. And we say, well, they should have believed. With all that they had heard from Jesus and all they had seen and all they themselves had done by His power, they should have believed the report. Do you believe? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you turned from yourself and your sin to walk in the pathway of righteousness with Him for the balance of your days here upon the earth to His praise and His honor and His glory? Have you done that? Why not? You see, if you haven't done that, you don't believe. Oh, yeah, I believe. I believe that Jesus... No, you don't believe. If you don't obey Him, you don't believe. That's what He's saying. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias asked Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." See, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to be eternally separated from God. In John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those who believed on Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In 2 John verse 9, a very similar statement is made, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." To abide in His Word. If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. To abide in His Word is to abide in His doctrine. to abide in His teaching, to live in what He teaches from His Word. That's the only way we continue to have fellowship with Him and be in fellowship with Him, to be one with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, we read, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Do you believe? Do you have life in His name? Have you taken these steps in your life? Let me tell you some of the steps that you have taken. You've heard the Word of God. If you haven't heard anything else, you've heard the Word of God today. You've heard today everything you really need to know to become a Christian, to follow Christ from this day forward. You've heard what you need to hear to believe. So you've taken that step, whether you wanted to or not. Do you believe? Do you truly believe? Do you believe what you've heard? Have you repented? Have you turned to Him? Will you confess Him? Will you obey Him and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you continue to abide in His Word and His doctrine, and in fellowship with Him from now until the end of your life? 1 Peter 1 and verses 6 through 8. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." What did He say to Thomas? "Thomas, you believe because you've seen Me. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." What did Peter say here? "Whom though you have not seen Him, you love Him." You believe. You believe. Do you believe? Will you leave this place rejoicing with joy inexpressible? That your sins are washed away in the blood of Christ and you rise to walk with Him in newness of life on a pathway to heaven. Will you embrace that valid hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ? Unless you believe, truly believe, comprehensively believe, trust Him and obey Him, unless you believe, you will perish. Embrace the hope that Jesus came to give us. Be set free from your sin and be set on the course of righteousness that leads to heaven. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.